welcome. Thank you for joining us again on another installment of our podcast, coming to you at night this time.
Buonasera a tutti.
It is March 10th, Thursday evening for us at about 9 o'clock. And we're doing this podcast. Normally, we do them first thing in the morning.
I know, but we've been so busy. Gaji was here, for example, at 7:30 in the morning, ready to work. So it's just been too crazy. So we thought, better to do it now than never.
That's right. Buona festa to the ladies. Tuesday was Festa della Donna, or Women's Day.
Yes. Now, you do not have to be a mother to celebrate Women's Day. This is not Mother's Day. It is a celebration of women. I'm not quite sure what happens on Festa della Donna. Normally, we do like a lunch or something for some friends and their mothers. However, this year it fell on Fat Tuesday, Martes di Grasso, so most people were celebrating Fat Tuesday or doing things like that. However, I was in the car driving by myself that day, and I was listening to the radio, and there was all buzz on the stations about both, what will the women do this year, because it is Festa della Donna and Martes di Grasso. The women like to go out on their own, and they like to do, and they're saying all this in Italian, of course, and they like to go to see striptease, and they were saying how, what if the women got the men confused because the men were in costume for Martes di Grasso and for a carnival, and they were expecting a striptease.
Really? Are you serious?
I'm totally serious. So, I don't know if there's impromptu... Remember one year, like, in Fiera Mignano or Fossombrone, we saw a big sign for Festa della Donna and, like, a huge super sexy man on the billboard, like, Chippendales style?
But I thought Festa della Donna... Well, I guess that's mothers go out with their families on Festa della... So, if you're younger, I guess all the girls get together.
It's ladies' night. Oh, what a night.
All right.
Yeah. So, I guess next year I gotta find a striptease or something.
Yeah, I guess.
Celebrate the right way.
Yep, Fat Tuesday was also Tuesday, obviously. So, we're in Lent. What did you, what are you giving up for Lent? What are you sacrificing for Lent? Nothing?
Nothing. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have anything I'm sacrificing for Lent either, but I thought I'd throw it out there and ask. Busy week this week. We're in the crunch time, getting all the apartments together and getting the house put back together.
It's like tiling, painting, new stoves, new beds.
Yeah, we got a lot of new stuff coming in. Very exciting. New beds, some new furniture in all the rooms, new hood, new kitchen, new hood, new stove, new oven. I bought myself a new faucet for the kitchen sink with one of those really cool lunch lady sprayers.
Ooh.
I know, fancy. So I'm very excited to put that in, and we're going to do some tiling around the kitchen.
Moving on up.
Yesterday we had 50 quintale of wood dropped off.
Like, okay, so 50 quintale of wood is what?
It's 5,000 kilos. One quintale is 100 kilos, and most things are weighed in quintale. So when you buy hay or what else comes in quintale? Wood comes in quintale.
Flour.
That's a lot of flour, 100 kilos.
Yeah.
But I don't know what a cord is. In America, we measure wood by cords.
In America, we use cords.
But here you don't. You get it by the quintale or 100 kilos. So I got 50 quintale, 5,000.
So that's what we did yesterday afternoon and half of today.
But I have gotten good at it. And the doctor even...
Yesterday afternoon, Jason was getting, it was the end of the day, the wood had just got delivered, and right as Pierangelo is driving away, he's like, yeah, it's gonna rain in like 2 days, so you better get this stacked up or covered, and we looked at each other like, oh, Lord, here we go, with stacking time. So we just started right then and there, and I could tell you were getting frustrated with me, and you're not stacking it right, or putting it, it's like a puzzle, and I understand, I don't know exactly how to stack wood, but then all of a sudden you're like, Gachi's gonna come over and redo the whole thing.
I know Gachi's gonna come over, and he did, he was here at 7:30 this morning, and he's gonna look at the stack, and if it's not, the corners, it's really important when you stack, I had no idea, I've learned all of this, but when you do wood, if you don't have the corners crisscrossed, meaning if one layer of wood goes one way at the corner, and then you cross it over. Like
horizontal to vertical.
No, vertical would be up and down. You just cross them over. Like when you're making Lincoln Logs, how the corners of the house with Lincoln Logs kind of cross over each other. You have to do that on the corners to give it so it doesn't fall over.
And it's bellowing. It looks beautiful.
It does. And my stocks are Mukye, are very precise. I like it. They're good sides, nice and uniform.
It's a wall. I mean, it's formidable. It's nice.
It's a nice wall wood. Gaji commented this morning. He said, oh, all right, you started off good.
We're learning. This is 3 years in. Our first year, we were burning wet wood we found / stole. As the wood band.
And then last year, I would buy wood long.
Long.
So we get it cut now and split.
And then we'd get them in meter lengths. So
huge.
We'd have to chainsaw it and then split it.
And then chop it, which was...
Oh, my God.
A lot of work to save a tiny bit of money. So.
And to chop wood, it's the art. It's like a form. Like swinging a... It's like a golf club or something. It's not how hard you do it, but in, like, the motion you go in, correct?
Yeah, you have to hit it nice and straight, and you don't have to swing it. I thought you bring it behind your head and you come down as hard as you can.
Yeah, like a maniac.
And after breaking... How many axe handles maul handles did I break? Probably a dozen.
Yeah. And then Marty was here and he was like,
no,
it's just nice and smooth.
Nice and smooth.
Follow through.
But not worth saving the €2
no.
Quintale.
No. Not at all. So now we get it chopped. But then we still have to stack it. Then we bring it down to the outdoor kitchen area where we have another wood pile that we stack. And since our wheelbarrows are broken due to our cats loving to claw on the wheels...
At scratching posts, yes,
we use
wonderful.
Our car. What, like a pickup truck, you might be thinking? No, 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 no. A little compact, city-like Hyundai EDH i11.
I-10.
Or I-10, I'm sorry, I-10.
They don't sell those in the States.
No, but it's a little tiny car that should not be used to haul wood, manure, hay, or... garbage.
We haven't used manure in it yet. That's disgusting.
No, but we did that in our other car.
Yeah, that was a rental.
That was... That side note. Jason's driving the car and me and my sister are holding wheelbarrows of manure out the back. Who got the short end of the stick on that deal?
Oh, man. But lots of work. I went back, keep going to Fano every Wednesday to the...
Baywatch class.
My class. Oh, I found out. So, there's a couple of things. You can do the Baywatch. We talked about this last week, about how they kept talking about Baywatch and doing the Baywatch. And you can do the Baywatch, which is kind of like putting out the vibe, checking out the ladies, you know, oiling yourself up while you're a lifeguard.
Uh-huh. SMSing.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm taking a lifeguarding class I'm taking in Fano. But also the Baywatch, the object that they keep referring to is the thing that they'd throw over their shoulders. All the hot chicks would throw that arm.
It's a life preserver.
Yeah, but it's not round. It's that weird
shape.
It's
like a boogie board shape.
It's not a boogie board.
But it just kind of looks like one.
I guess. But it's the thing all the hot chicks would throw over their shoulders with those strap that they go dive in.
David Hasselhoff wore one too.
When I think of Baywatch, David Hasselhoff is not the one that comes to mind.
That's all I think of. David Hasselhoff.
Anyway, so that thing's called the Baywatch. And after they made this, they kept referring to it. I put my hand up and I said, what do you guys keep talking about? What is this thing Baywatch? And the guy goes to the back of the class and holds it up. And I go, why do you call that a Baywatch? He goes, well, that is what it's called.
That's the answer for everything.
And then I was thinking, what did they call it? Did they call it a Baywatch before 1995 when Baywatch came out?
Good question. For our professional lifeguard listeners out there, get back to us on the proper name.
In English, I have no idea what that thing's called. But everyone knows what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
It's the orange thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, if anyone knows what that is called, shoot me an email. And I'm sure it's not called a Baywatch.
No. How are the classes going?
Oh, man. Lots of technical words.
Oh, you had to do your swim.
Yes. I had to do my prova in the pool. I had to...
trial.
Yeah, prove that I could swim. So I had to go do 100 meters of freestyle, 100 meters of, they call it frog rana, but it's, what would we call it, breaststroke. Then I had to do this thing where you're on your back and you only use your legs to kick, but you hold your hands in front of you like you're holding someone's head and shoulders. and you had to do 100. It was like...
Wait, and then you had that under... That long dive one.
Yeah, then you had to dive and go 20 meters underwater, you know, like at the bottom of the pool without coming up. And I wasn't the worst, but man, swimming like 500 meters is not easy.
No. Like, I think I might throw up.
Towards the end, it was like, oh, no, you know, for next time, maybe skip eating dinner early before I come.
Yes.
So, all right, only 10 more weeks of that to go, and then I'll be done.
And then you'll be testing in the ocean.
Yep, then we start, once it gets warmer, we start testing in the ocean, which, I don't know, this seems like an overkill for our little tiny pool.
This is true.
But,
So, in this podcast, oh, sorry, did I cut you off?
No, I wasn't saying anything.
Okay. We wanted to plug in an interview that we did with our friend and commercialista, Fabio. And
what is Jason, what is a commercialista?
Yes, actually? A commercialista is like a tax accountant, not really business manager, but will help you
advisor.
Form a bit. Yeah, an advisor. He is, we lovingly refer to him as our all-around saint, because if it wasn't for Fabio shaming the people at the office, the visa office in New York, we would not be living here. He's helped us program our cell phone. He helped us start our business.
He generally cuts through the red tape of Italy.
Yes. He's our shark, and we love him so.
And not only that, we've become very good friends, really good friends with him and his family. We went to Christmas dinner at their house 2 years ago.
We were at their wedding.
We saw, we didn't see their twins, but we were... They're one, their twins were just born, so I just look at him more as just a commercialista.
No, not at all, not at all.
First Italian guy that we latched on to, I would say. We forced him into being friends with us.
I think he liked it.
Well, without further ado, here we go, the interview with Fabio. Enjoy. So here we are with Fabio Centurione, our Saint Fabio. We would not
Santo
Fabio. We would not be here in Italy without him. We'd still be sitting in front of the Consulate General in New York, begging for our visas. Welcome, Fabio.
Ciao a tutti. Hello, everybody.
We just had dinner with Fabio and his lovely wife, Samantha. Ciao, Sammy.
Ciao.
We're here today interviewing Fabio because he's a very, very interesting person to talk to. His English is wonderful, and I think he'd get a kick out of being on our podcast. So, Fabio, how did you learn to speak English so well? Tell me.
Yes, I want to say just that I'm not the very interesting people, because the very interesting people are those two Americans, crazy guys who... choose to change their life and come to live in a very small country house in Le Marche, in central Italy. So this is the real news.
That we're the crazy ones?
No. You went to school in the States for a little bit, yes?
Yes, I several years ago I won a scholarship with my university. So they put me in a college, in the Mary Washington College in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
And how long?
I stayed there for a semester, and it was an ex-female college. So when I came, it was open to everybody.
Oh, so it used to be women
just
only.
Since a few years.
Oh, really? So the ratio was good.
So there's a lot of women, yes?
Yes, I think... 70% women and 30% males.
That's a good school.
A very good school, yeah.
And what do you remember most about your time in America? What did you enjoy most?
The best things were when American people keep asking on me if in Italy everybody had a refrigerator or... if everybody in Italy was walking up and down on the stairs in a very slow way, like they were used to see when they went to visit Naples or Rome.
That's so weird.
Hold on, Americans
Because Italy is divided in two great portions, how do you say?
Yeah. Divided into, sure.
Two kind of population, the South and the North, a little bit like the United States, where in the North they keep on talking very fast, like New York, parked car over there. Anyway, we have... We have the very big advantage that we live in the central Italy, mm-hmm. so we are in the middle, equal.
And you are a commercialista here in Italy. What is, for people who don't know, what does a commercialista do?
Commercialista is like something like a charter accountant.
Kind of like a lawyer, accountant, tax person.
Exactly. Assisting people and start up new enterprises. To help them to find a way to to win the burocrazia italiana.
Italian bureaucracy. And give your website out of your office or the phone number. In case the website or the phone number of your...
Website is contributimarche.it.
We'll post it on our blog. Okay. Now, if you're thinking about moving to Italy or doing any business in Italy, Fabio is your man. He is excellent. He's our shark. He's the guy who...
Well, tell him what you mean by that.
Well, when we first were coming to Italy to just have a look around, we met a woman in San Marino, and she was the public relations director for San Marino. We were asking her, how do we go about moving to Italy? What do we do? She said, you need to find yourself a shark, someone who would
navigate
through the waters of the bureaucracy of Italy. And Fabio is definitely our shark. He has cut through it all. So shoot us an email, or Ashley will post his information on our blog. Tell the story about the Italian embassy. We had an appointment to go into the embassy in New York to get our visa the day before we were to leave for Italy. Everything was supposed to be okay. We had we made the reservation months and months in advance, and the day before we called to make sure that tomorrow we have an appointment to go get our visa, yes? And they said no, they canceled it. So Fabio...
And that was like the first time out of all the craziness that I was just almost...
That was the first time I thought that we might not be moving to Italy.
Or at least legally.
Yes. We had our plane tickets. Our apartment was...
We were ready to go.
We were gone. We put all of our clothes and everything on a boat for Italy. So we had to come. What did you write to the Consulate General
It was pissed off. Because the consulate didn't want to meet these two guys, and so I was a little bit angry with them, because I thought that the real reason was that there were too many people to look for, so they didn't have any time. So I write something tough, you can say.
Yeah.
To the consulate and to...
But I thought you shamed their family. You said that they...
It would be shameful.
It would be shameful to their families to your family. How could you... What was the... I remember reading it and laughing. You wrote something that was very funny. No?
Mm-hmm.
Shame to your... How could you do this? Shame on you and your family? Or... I don't know. It was great. Anyway, regardless of what Fabio wrote, we had our appointment the next morning at 9 a.m., and by 12 noon, we had our visas, which is...
They had no clue what was going on. They called
me. Yes, I remember I had to make a lot of telephone calls, and at last, they didn't want to answer to the phone anymore, the consulate, so I wrote them an email, a little bit... bad email. Mm-hmm. So, and I wrote that they had to call me back as soon as possible. After 5 minutes, I got the call from the consulate explaining me that what they had understood was completely different of what I have wrote to them, because they told me that I discovered afterward that these two crazy guys used
an online translator.
Online translator, yes, exactly. And the lady at the consulate told me in Italian that the translation was something to do, had something to do with elemosinare, like somebody in the street.
Oh, like panhandling?
Like a bomb? Like
give
a...
me 50 cents? 50 cents.
Oh, like
how do you call it?
A bomb, like a...
A bomb, yes. the sentence was, we would like to bomb...
We'd like to
bomb for residentialism. We would like to bomb for residentialism in Italy.
Beg for
citizenship in Italy because we have a big activity in Italy. So the lady told me that they give citizenship or residency to Italian to the strangers just if they have something like $2 million dollars on the bank. So after they check that they have $2 million, maybe they give the residency to the stranger. So I had to send a lot of documents to them, and at last they accepted to meet these two crazy guys the day after.
And they gave us the visa immediately. There were signs posted that said we will not have any preferential treatment. They took our paperwork. I think they called you back while we were there.
In exchange, they wanted me to write them two letters. One to the personnel of the embassy, of the consulate.
The consulate general?
Yes.
The il capo?
To beg them for a... ask them for a...
Apology?
Apology. And another letter to the consulate general, the boss of the consulate. Another apology that I had to explain that it was not their fault, the fault of the personnel of the consulate. I had to specify real clear that there was no responsibility of the consulate, and every responsibility was of Ashley and Jason and me, that we didn't understand what we wanted really ask to the consulate.
I didn't know that.
I was trying to use a translator site because I wasn't confident in our Italian, and I thought, I don't want to bother Fabio with a bazillion questions of how to write a stupid email to the consulate. So I thought, oh, just go on Battlefish or one of these simple translators. Note to the listeners, do not use a translator. Site.
Exactly.
So Fabio, tell our listeners why someone should come out to La Marche for a holiday.
All right, Fabio is born and raised in Sassocovaro, which is probably 25 minutes from us.
Exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he lives in Urbino now.
Urbino.
Not Urbino.
Well, if you have time for just for visiting just one city in Italy, make it Urbino. Because that was the sentence I read in a Oxford guide. Mm-hmm. So I was impressed of this sentence. And... anyway, the sentence was very precise because the guy said that in Urbino is the city who represents better the Renaissance age, because we have the Ducal Palace with the two
towers.
Typical of Renaissance age, and where Raffaello, the painter, was born.
Mm-hmm. Raffaello's house is still there, yes.
Exactly. So besides Raffaello and UNESCO?
UNESCO
protected city.
World Heritage Site.
There is a third reason to visit Le Marche, because... we have the capital of the truffle, mm-hmm. Aqualagna, where you can taste the best truffle all over the world?
I don't know. I think our friends in Sant'Angelo would disagree that the best truffles are in Aquilania. There's fierce rivalry between those two towns.
Exactly,
two
right.
Villages.
Sant'Angelo said that they are the capital.
Is there anyone you'd like to say hi to in the States that will hear this? I know you have a couple friends in the States. Say hi to your...
Yes, I have two friends, very good friends, because I met in this college in Virginia when I studied over there. One is Craig Butler.
Woo!
Hi, Craig Butler.
The crazy guy. he was studying Spanish when I met him. And after we met, he decided to learn Italian, and actually he is teaching Italian classes in secondary school in New York.
Wow.
And converted everybody from the French and German classes to the Italian class to come to the Italian classes. And the second friend is Mike Bure, another crazy guy who... used to live in Washington and then moved to Morocco.
Wow.
His father is the architect of the King of Morocco.
Wow.
Wow.
So...
Well, I'm sure my sister will be happy to hear your voice, too. How many times she sat in that office going over all the documents and everything?
Well, Fabio...
She was so patient.
She was so good.
Definitely. Well, Fabio, thank you very much for taking time, and we are forever in your debt.
I think, honestly, if the name Fabio in America didn't conjure up
the
image of a model with long, flowy hair...
Did you know that guy? Fabio?
Yes.
That we would consider naming our firstborn after you.
Yes, when I... first time I arrived in the United States, everybody was telling me, oh, Fabio. The curious thing was, what's your name? Fabio. Oh, Fabio. Where are you from? From Italy. Oh, that wonderful Paris. Because I like
Paris.
Paris, yes, Paris. Because I like Italy so much. Paris is so beautiful.
Oh, no.
Wonderful that Americans are so good at geography. These are college people, too. These are people in university, yes?
In university and in the shops. I used to buy stuff.
Oh, gosh.
Well, the next time any of you listeners come out and Fabio's around, you're more than welcome to meet him, and we'll all go out to lunch or something together.
Absolutely. Fabio, thank you very much. Sammy, say goodbye.
Ciao.
Well, there you have it. The wonderful Fabio Cetrioni and his beautiful wife, Sammy, saying hello in the background.
Thank you, Fabio and Sammy.
So we're going to come to our...
phrase that pays?
Word of the week. I don't like phrase that pays. It's cheesy.
It is. That's why I like.
Not that word of the week is any better. All right.
No.
Off the top of our head, since we really didn't plan, if you can tell.
No,
really,
I know.
We really haven't written this podcast out. Normally we have a little outline.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
You go first.
All right. I was thinking of the words... orario continuato.
Ooh, that is an excellent one.
Thank you. It means continuous hours. And why that is significant is that most stores, restaurants, anything closes in the middle of the day. They take their afternoon break.
Well, restaurants would be open during the middle of the day.
All right. Well, banks...
Well, the bank's a whole other story.
True. They open at 8:30, close at 1:30, take their break for lunch. No idea why, but they come back to work at 2:45 to 3:15. So get that last half an hour in at the end of the day.
I don't know why they just don't stay closed.
I don't know. Bank hours are the best.
But orario continuato. So a store will generally publicize this in the front window because it's... in our neck of the woods, it's pretty rare for them to have continuous hours and not close for the lunch break.
Yeah, they'll put huge signs out, like Auchan, because it's like, hello, everything else is closed.
Auchan is the big...
like Target.
Target, yeah, which mm-hmm. is in Fano. And they
there's,
have...
Yeah, and like in our little area between Piobico and Urbana, there's really only one grocery store that's orario continuato.
Yeah.
So, like, when guests are here and you want to go grocery shopping or really just even do anything for the day, it is not wise to sleep in because you will then arrive at your destination around 12:30, 1 o'clock.
When all the shops are closed.
Exactly. So just keep in mind that the midday break happens. And that's my phrase that pays. Orario continuato.
Good one.
What do you have?
I have one that me and Gachi were actually talking about today. Not only did we have a very interesting conversation while we were stacking wood about respiratory failure and cardiac arrest.
Ah, naturally. Did he think you were going into that?
No, but I was asking him if we needed a defibrillator here at the house because we were talking about in my lifeguarding class last night about...
Oh. No, but he doesn't think we do because, as he even says, we have him.
He's we have him.
House doctor.
And he says, if you have a heart attack this far out in the countryside, you will die here.
It is your time.
It is your time to go. So the doctor said we don't need one. But it was a very interesting conversation. Sometimes I really don't think of him as a real a real doctor, because I don't see him in a white coat and at a hospital. I see him in work clothes and in the garden and with the dog. So it's interesting sometimes. But we were talking about the wind and how the wind has changed. And there's words for the winds. The winds out of the north and south. For instance, the wind we're getting, the nice warm wind out of the south that we're getting right now is called lo scirocco. And a cold, wet wind out of the north is called the bora or tramontana, from the mountains.
It makes me think of Mary Poppins.
Why Mary Poppins?
Because at the end, when the winds are changing, it will take Mary away. And that's when she goes off onto her umbrella, when the winds from the north take her away.
Oh. That'd be the Bora.
Yes, yes.
So was she going south, or did she have a headwind?
No, she just took off. It's time to fly a kite, and Miss Mary Poppins is gone.
All right. Well, there you go. That's mine. Lo scirocco for the warm air from the south, and la bora or tramontana for the cold air from the north. So you can, if you're nothing else in the bar, you can talk about the weather.
This is true.
All right. That's it for this week. Do you want to bring it home and throw out all our stuff?
Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging in. This was a long podcast. You can find us on latavlamarque.com, at Twitter at La Tavola Marque, and on Facebook. And how do you spell La Tavola Marque? LATAVOLAMARCHE. La Tavola Marque. Until the next time.
Until the next time. Thank you, guys.
Arrivederci.
Arrivederci. Ciao.